You know, I told you a couple of weeks ago, and just a large book in the New Testament. I told you a few weeks ago that when we figure in his gospel account together with the book of Acts, Luke has written more words than anyone else in the entire New Testament. In fact, some have argued pretty persuasively, I think, that, or at least the possibility, is the author of truth. The Gospel of Luke has been called, quote, the most beautiful book ever written. It is a wonderful collection of poems, stories, sermons, and scenes from the lifetime of the most perfect man ever, Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn with warning. And I suppose that it would be good for us to state the obvious from the very beginning. That is, as we found out, so that the theme of this book is none other than the person and work of Christ. In fact, I would contend that the more that you read this gospel, the more that you come to know and love the Lord Christ, because the more you know about him, the more you will love him. He is the theme of the book. Luke told us that when he wrote, introducing his second work, the book of Acts, first chapter 1, he says the first account, referring to the gospel, the first account that he composed, says, was about all that Jesus began to do and teach. All that he began to do until the day was taken up in heaven. All that last, he briefly introduced the gospel to you. I hope you remember the key verse for assigning to the gospel. The key verse, the verse that summarizes, the verse that is the synopsis of this gospel is verse 10. So if you want to know a good place to go to summarize the gospel of Luke, go to Luke, which says, for the Son of to seek and save the law. And that's the point out of the gospel of Luke. First part, the coming of the Son of. Second part, really the largest part, chapters 6, 9, or so, the seeking of the Son of God. Then from 20 to 24, the saving of the Son of Man. Jesus referred to himself by that more than any other title. And of course, it's a way to refer to his humanity. Jesus referring to the humanity of Christ. But it's more than, whenever you see the term of man as work way through this text, I want you immediately in your mind to at least, if you don't write it in the margin of the Bible, write it in the margin of your mind, Daniel 7. Because whenever he's refers to man, he has in mind what Daniel said, namely as a reference to his exalted humanity. He is the one to whom was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. Dominion, glory, and a kingdom, so that all the peoples, nations, and men of every tongue might serve him. When he uses the term, it's about the dominion of Christ. It is about the kingdom of Christ. It is about the fact that every him belongs worship, praise, and adoration of all peoples everywhere, all the time. And it answers the question, why? It answers the question, how was he born into this world? It shows us not only how he lived, but it shows us how and why he died. Friends, this demonstrates to us the reality that Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, rose bodily from the grave on the third day. today. And this gospel explains the role in his glorious return and his future earth. As we today, I want to take the unnamed author, work through the theme of the book. We've seen the theme is the person work of Christ. This morning, we're going to look at the Gospel of Luke, unnamed. But let me assure you, there is a human author to this book. Look at the first four verses. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile the narrative of that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely from some time past, write in the account. I pray. Right. The word in all one sentence here. All one sentence, and to us, team of letters, us audience letter, us the audience author. The author. Like question, what was the story? Are there any from the office of morning? That's a wide characteristic and important lesson. Take care out. And for I want to point out one of the things you notice about us as you notice what is there is what is not there? What is there is no mention of the author's name. The book itself might say is anonymous. The writer speaks of himself, and he just says he refers to himself as the first person. It seemed good to me. Me. That's him. That's the author. Who's the author? Me. Not me. Me. Him. Right? Someone knew him. One of the things that we can be certain of is that we can ascertain whoever wrote this book also wrote the second Gospel of Acts. Just turn back with me Acts chapter 1 for a moment, and I'll show you that as well. The reason that we say that whoever wrote the book of Luke also wrote the book of Acts, if you look at Acts chapter 1, he says, verse 1, in the first book, that first book is a reference to the gospel. In the first book, O Theophilus, so the first book to Theophilus, here is the second book to Theophilus, I. Now he goes from me to saying, I have dealt with all that and he. the author, even though we get the book back, still unnamed. Again, here in our copy of scriptures, we have the gospel according to Luke. Luke is only mentioned 3 times in the Testament. This title, the gospel according to Luke, was affixed to the gospel very early on by the early church. In fact, look back in church history, we would find that the earliest list of the New Testament books, something called the Oratorian, earliest list existed around 180 A.D., gathered there in that section of a tribe, this gospel, Luke. And then what you do is compare the event listed in the book of Luke and together with in the book of Acts, what ends up happening is you narrow it down to understanding that there's only 2 people who could have been of and the Acts of the Apostles. One, by the name of Titus, later be left by Paul and Gather. And quite a bit of dirt. That a young man, author of the gospel, as well as Acts. That the Holy Spirit entrusted the young man the writing of four of Paul wrote thousands of 105. Greek in origin, it seemed apparent that Luke was Greek, or we might say that he was Gentile. That is clear from just looking at Luke's writing style. Whereas the other Gospels may have used Hebrew expressions in their writing, Luke seems to avoid those. Very comfortable with the Greek, uses the Greek version of those expressions. In fact, it writes down the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 1-14, Paul tells us that Luke, quote, not of the circumcision, which means what? He was. What's the other opportunity? And as you look through the gospel, you will notice that this author is upset to point out how God's salvation reaches Gentile peoples. He does that in the book of Luke, and he does that in the Acts of the Apostles as well. Most of the Acts of the Apostles is taken up with the gospel going. Now, we don't know how he came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We might assume that it was through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. We'll note about that later. But he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. What I want to say is this, that though he is unnamed, not unimportant. Tremendous story. We're talking about a real who lived on the earth during the time of Jesus Christ. Church tradition tells us that he lived in Antioch. And we know that he was a dear friend of the Apostle Paul. Some suggest, as I mentioned earlier, some suggest that in fact been a brother, a pious man, a man named Titus, whom Paul on the Isle of not for sure, but it is a possibility left. His writing style demonstrates his education and his experience. History tells us that he lived to an old age. Some say he lived until the age of 84. And despite the unnamed nature of this author, there was never a time throughout church history when there was any serious doubt about the identity of this author. Name himself. And listen. In the end, all are Lucas. Those when Jesus is when Jesus is eminent, Philemon, first, what I can learn in the whole I noticed what about and were pointed out. Philemon, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. Go to Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow worker, my co-laborer. We know that Luke was a frequent traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. He's called one of Paul's fellow workers. Moreover, the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 14, tells us that Luke was, quote, the beloved physician. Imagine. Luke is a traveling fellow laborer, a co-laborer with the Apostle Paul. We can imagine how he must serve. Paul was frequently in need of medical care. Why? Because he was always in the middle of beat. He suffered physical illnesses. He suffered ailments and was repeatedly in harm's way. And here is this little note. There is the beloved physician, a beloved physician who is a co-laborer, who is co-worker together with the Apostle Paul as what we might say a medical missionary. On how many occasions do you think Paul was in need of medical care? And it's likely that Luke's primary ministry was one in which he offered that care to the great Apostle. And it's pretty difficult. I wonder what that must have been like for Luke. You know, Paul, I'm getting a little tired always picking up after you. Here is a fellow son. It is the character. Projecting life as your self back up one of the things that impressed so much about this man, Luke. He says, I've undertaken, verse 1, to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, take off that great next minister of the word, have delivered them to us, seem good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time, to write an orderly account of the most excellent office, that you may have certain. Back, very right. Right. I followed all things closely for some time. this carefully studied these things for some time. It wasn't a Johnny Clayton. He wasn't just filling his mind everywhere he could go, taking note of the things that he heard about the person and work of the Lord Christ. He wasn't going up, wasn't shooting from the lip, as it were. He carefully arranged, not necessarily chronologically, but really thematically. And what the gospel is that Luke moves through the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and reports on the how he brought together eyewitnesses. And he uses the word eyewitness. He uses the word from which we get our word all. In many ways, the Gospel of Luke is the careful study of the origin and details of the Gospel of Christ. A careful report on the essential message of the Gospel. Now listen, there were many accounts of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ which were circulating in those days, but only this one survived. Only this one has the mark of divine inspiration. The account of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is not something it was just a few people sitting around a campfire telling stories. There were many, many people who spoke of and who gave an account of the life and ministry of the Lord Christ. And Luke took all of those things into account, as well as eyewitness testimony of the apostles, perhaps Jesus' own mother, Mary, and he would have interviewed, quite likely that he was able to interview Mary, the mother of Jesus. And you'll notice throughout this gospel now that everything that Luke speaks about, he historical anchors. He rivets them to historical anchors or historical markers. You remember how he began Luke chapter 2, right? And he made reference to the decree of by Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world. And then he carefully notes, he says, this was the first census that took place while Quirinius, the all went to his own town. Just say, Joseph. So one day, Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem to the cave. Mark probably would have done that. Mark was writing for a Roman audience. He was doing things, just keeping them moving. But Luke put these little historical markers there. And he said that they traveled there because the census instituted by Caesar Augustus, and that this census was the one that occurred while a man named Quirinius was governor of Syria. And listen, 100 years ago, critics had a field day. Ah, look at the Bible. Just a bunch of myth. Because why? Because there was no evidence in history. You remember that time? They Lila out and no, mommy, save me. All right, I got it. Okay, 100 years ago, critics had a field day that there was never any evidence of a man named Quirinius. Never, ever, ever any evidence in history suggests that Caesar ever issued and never anything suggests that Quirinius was ever governor of Syria. Just like, see, the book of Luke just said, but Sir William Graham dug up first-hand documents showing their regular tactics. Another document written on papyrus, right? And that wrecked the taxpayer, their ancestors. And another of Iran in Antioch, that showed that with interruption, a man by Christ, historical marker of like William Graham. There's no historical document indicating the existence of a man named Pontius Pilate. In Caesarea, found with the name engraved on it, Pontius Pilate. William Graham, critic, on the Middle East in order to work, think, work at all. Back has found the historic proof on now. That remember here that there's this man named Theophilus, most excellent Theophilus. Many have tried to figure out who that was. Maybe it wasn't a real name at all, but only a reference to all those who love God, God lover. But the fact that he prefaced it with most excellent Theophilus makes us understand that he's referring to a person, probably refers to a Roman official. And this Roman official had been taught things concerning the first work of Jesus Christ in verse 4. It seems best to understand that Theophilus was an active person who was likely a Roman official, and Luke was writing with this man in mind, perhaps even being by him, to provide an orderly account for the things that he had been taught. Some suggest that Luke was bringing these things together as a defense for Paul while and providing it for those ex-Theophilus so that Theophilus provide some kind of defense to the Apostle Paul. Just an example. Luke took this. All of that. Of course, Arthur said in the remarkable prophecy of God, that the book Luke wrote initially to one man would be disseminated around the world. The beloved physician, historian, theologian, and pastor had the privilege of becoming an instrument of God that God used for salvation and education of millions throughout history. Serious. Well, this was not the reason why he was so interested to tell us that Cyrenian from a town of Antioch, That's been a lot, especially in the book of Acts. Several times. Chapter 6, 11, 13, 14, 15, 18. But in chapter 11, there's one thing that's interesting that stands out about it. What does it know about Antioch? It was there. Listen to Acts 11, 19. Well, let's turn there. I want to read this text because I want you to get what's going on. Look at Acts chapter 11, and I'll begin. Acts 11. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. I'll point that out. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch, there's Antioch again, spoke to the Hellenists also, Lord, the great number who turned to the Lord. Report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. He exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord, steadfast. Of the Holy Spirit and of faith and a great attitude. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met in the church and taught a great many. And at an end, the disciples were Gentile, Harriet, one of those. Verb to rejoice is found more here, gospel, than in any other place in the New Testament. Go with me to Luke chapter. I really cannot. My faith with this parable word, right? And I just go first. What necessitates telling parables? The parable of the lost silver. Parable. I'm sorry. The parable of the lost sheep. Parable of lost silver. What necessitates that? Look first one of Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Yuck! Why would he do that? So he tells them this. Just so I tell you, there will heaven over one sinner who repents over 99 righteous. Good news of great joy, which will be to all the people. Why? Because there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. He is a man of joy, and that joy comes when sinners come to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive from him what he has been to give. Amen. Back chapter 1, spoke plotting. Chapter 1. Verse 3, I'm sorry, it seems to have followed all close to some time past, write an orderly account that have. Now, doesn't mean, as I told you earlier, necessarily is chronological. The logic of it is so obvious. The logic, the reason for following, the reason why the Apostle Paul would be in prison. He's explaining the logic of it. He's providing the basis, a historical orderly account for the basis of faith in the Lord Christ. He was not an innovator, he was a reporter. He compiled and reported history, and he wanted Theophilus to have truth so that he could have a full knowledge of the things that he had been taught, and he was zealous for this. He wanted him to have a firm foundation for his faith. By the way, there's some up or whether or not it actually after the gospel, and that of the gospel in the gospel those text stuff, and then act gospel. Writing in order to provide a full orb account of life, first at work, Lord Christ, all that happened. He was writing to explain the presence and writing to explain the reality that men were going to death for their faith in Christ. He was writing so that Theophilus would have a solid foundation on which to build his own faith. Yes, he was a but here he is, a medical missionary. Of an evangelist longing for someone to come to faith in the Lord Christ. Luke set on writing this journey of total of 52 chapters together with Luke and Acts, a labor of love under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which inspired fervent dedication, diligent church. Why? Because long enough of all that is important. This gospel rests on the life of the church. Maybe you're here today. I the gospel. Ironside said this is not an imaginary on. But a stand not best rests upon an third down back. Therefore, back. I book as Sir William. Remember I told you about him? He set out to prove the theological case regarding the authorship of the New Testament. Biblical scholarship dominated by the work of a man named Ferdinand Christian Bauer. He and those who followed him believed that the New Testament was written much, much later and that it was not a reliable document. Ramsey wrote this: I may fairly claim to have entered on this investigation without any prejudice in favor of the conclusion which I shall now attempt to justify to the reader. On the contrary, I began with a mind unfavorable for the ingenuity and apparent completeness of the theory at hand had at one time quite convinced me. But years after investigating every single detail and retracing the places mentioned in Acts and looking at all of the authorities, Ramsey came to the exact opposite conclusion. He came to the conclusion that not only was Luke a great historian, but, quote, that Luke was among the historians of first rank. Ramsey said that the first and essential quality of the great historian is truth. What he says must be trustworthy. And he found Luke to be one of the most, if not the most trustworthy historian of the world. Ramsey found that the account as recorded in both the Gospel and in its sequel to the Gospel, the book of Acts, are trustworthy. Which Acts faith. Seen his boy. Seen up and made for us in the most excellent work. Second Timothy chapter. Second Timothy chapter. Here's Paul. Perhaps even now, now, Demas, in love with this present girl, has gone to Thessalonica. Priest has gone to place the Titus down to Luke. Mark, thank you. Faithful Abraham. You have to understand that persecution against Christians is ratcheting up. To be associated with the Apostle Paul was to welcome persecution in himself. Paul's in prison. Some of his own co-workers had abandoned him. Demas, for one, was in love with the present world. Others have gone on in ministry, presumed, to other places. And there is the aged Paul near the end of life, alone, save for one. Luke is barely mentioned. Paul, there for the hundreds, if not thousands, of miles, walked for a second church. Serious, wrote for us, faithful, joyful, zealous. Excellent grace. Perfect. Money. Body. Heart. Great. Walk up. Back. There. Why did they applaud? No song. And I'm but unless the Holy Spirit never You will never come to faith, Lord. You must also be concerned for your heart, mind, trust, word. Through this, and if you will set for yourself this gospel, you will read it while you are crying out to God. Open your heart and your mind. He will most certainly answer your prayer. You too will become a believer in the Lord Christ. And this story that changed the world, that changes your life. And so now, over the next coming week, months, and no doubt years, we will endeavor to look into the beginnings of this account so that we may begin with in unison to exalt the Lord Christ, the one who is the exalted Son of Man, to whom belong all glory and honor, kingdom and dominion, the one to whom every person of every language, tribe, and nation must bow. You, my friend, must bow to the Lord Christ. You have been called to this very place today so that you might be certain of this gospel and so that you might be right now commanded friend, God, Son of God, come. God himself, I am taken. It calls our great joy and wondrous born for the sinner, for the poor, for the wayward, for the outcast, for the hurt, for the sick, for the distressed, for the destitute, for the shame, and for the guilty, for the lost son who has spent his life in riotous living. This gospel is the account of the Father who is waiting, watching, and his son. How he does not serve any grave, any at broke got their head down. fun of. Comfort. So that everyone who